As God's people, what should we make of President Biden dropping out of the presidential race?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Have we ever seen 8 days like this? Have we ever seen it? From the attempted assassination of President Trump and people watching live as the bullet whizzes by and rips off part of his ear and kills another gentleman and others wounded, and then the sniper is instantly shot, and then 8 days later, President Biden drops out of the presidential race. I mean, this is massive upheaval all around us. What in the world is going on? Michael Brown, delighted to be with you here today, really seeking prayerfully to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity, and to infuse you with faith and truth and courage, and to bring what I can bring to the table. All right, I am not a political pundit. I am not a political insider. I am not someone who served in D.C. and has been part of administrations. I'm not an economist. I'm not a military strategist. I'm none of those things. I'm not a pollster. I am a servant of the Lord, a student of the Word, a minister of the gospel, someone who prays and seeks his face and seeks to stand as a watchman on the wall, seeks to be a son of Issachar, to understand the times and understand what we, the church, should do. So that's the perspective I want to bring. And I trust that's why you have tuned in today to The Line of Fire, for the perspective that I can bring, and not the perspective from CNN or Fox or MSNBC or the perspective of any number of talking heads. Many of them have great things to say, wonderful insights, great, great observations, lots of information, but that's why you go to them and then you come to me for what we can bring. So hopefully at the end of this hour, you'll be edified, you'll be encouraged, you'll be strengthened, and your faith will be clear in terms of leaning on the Lord in these days of massive shaking and upheaval. If you've missed any of my articles, I've been writing a lot of articles on what's been going on. I hardly wrote anything politically for months, but now just written a bunch of things about what's going on, what we're to make of these things, spiritual insights, I'm putting out videos, many videos. So if you've missed them, once a week, we let you know. We send out an announcement every Friday with the latest articles and videos. So normally 8 to 10 new articles, videos in total every single week. And this way you can catch up anything you missed, or, oh, that's interesting. Oh, I want to share that. Oh, let me read that. Oh, that answers the question. We were just talking about that last night over dinner. Boom. There you have it. So go to thelineoffire.org. It's a free service. Everything sent out gratis is our way of ministering to you. Go to thelineoffire.org and just click subscribe. You'll also get our monthly frontline newsletter. So I was over the weekend at my monthly prayer retreat, and I had not been looking online, seeing what was happening in the news. I was praying, and after several hours, I saw a text from Nancy, and it just said, so Biden dropped out. And I had not been looking at the news at that point, so it was, wow. I mean, you thought it could, they're saying it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. But it seemed, to me, it seemed inevitable that it had to happen just on the principles that a house divided can't stand. So if you have major Democratic leaders urging him to drop out, if you have major donors saying they're withholding their funds, and if the polls are really looking bleak, because they have internal polling that is going to give detail beyond what we're seeing in the general news, that just those things together would indicate it's not going to work. So it seemed on the one hand very likely, I don't mean I had prophetic insight, I mean just looking at it like anyone else, it seemed very likely that he would drop out. But the fact that he did drop out was quite jarring, and took people by surprise when it happened and with such suddenness, especially after but a day or two earlier saying he's not dropping out, he's in it for the long haul, and then all of this happened. So when I did get online, I'll just put up this one flashing headline. When I did get online, there's one conservative website, Breitbart. I went to different websites. There it is, flashing in red. Biden drops out of race. Biden drops out of race, but he remains president. So it's like, okay, it's big news. It's in the news everywhere. And then I see Nancy sends me another link, and he's endorsed Harris. Well, I was looking at these headlines that said he didn't endorse her. In fact, I sent her one headline that said he refuses to endorse her. And then it was 28 minutes after his letter was published that he came on back on X, formerly Twitter, and announced that he was endorsing her. And Nancy said, look at that misleading headline. He refuses. No, it's not he refused. He didn't. And then 28 minutes later, in a second statement, made that endorsement. Why it happened like that, I don't know. Maybe others know, but I'm not getting into all of that. For sure, though, we are in very intense, momentous times. And I've been saying for months, we didn't even know who's going to be running for president come November 2024. And we still don't know for sure. I mean, it seems very likely it's Harris versus Trump, but we still don't know for sure. I'm going to give you my spiritual reflections and thoughts and all of this in a moment. And by the way, I do not have a prophecy update how this points to the end times and that the rapture is coming in on 14 days. No insights like that. I don't believe there are such insights like that. I don't believe that these are like prophetic signs from the Bible. We can date set and predict things, etc. Plus, I don't believe in a pre-trib rapture anyway, but that's aside. That's don't want to rustle feathers for those that get upset with me over that. That's not the issue here. I'm sure someone's going to have some kind of prophetic insight and date setting with everything going on. And they probably did with the assassination attempts already. But bottom line here, it seems 99% sure that it will be Trump versus Harris. However, the other issue is, okay, she still has not been confirmed. She's been endorsed. Has former President Obama endorsed her? Will others try to get the election? How's it actually going to work out? Then the delegates are going to have to decide what they do. The voters all said Biden, so they chose Biden. Okay, so now they cast their delegates for Harris. Is that, or can they make a choice? How much unity are they going to have moving forward? How much long-term support of donors? If you factor RFK into the race, does Harris even have a chance right now? Who knows? That's the reality. Who knows? So first big word. I just want to urge this on you. Do your best not to get caught up with election fever between now and November. Do your best not to be sucked into the polls. Oh, the one I want is up, down. Oh, do your best not to get sucked in. Whenever you feel that anxiety rising, let's just say you're a Republican voter, it's very important for you to see Donald Trump in. You think that the Democrat Party is destructive and it's very important. And you felt sure there's going to be victory with Biden, now with Harris, you're not sure and so on. Whatever your perspective, I'm just throwing that out. Whoever you are, whatever you get hit with, the anxiety, just step back and worship God. I want to urge you to step back and worship God and to say, Lord, your will be done. Lord, your will be done. Whatever is going to be best, the long-term best for America, whatever will be best for your people to thrive and the church to grow and Jesus to be glorified, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. I'm urging you, don't get caught up in election fever and don't get caught up in political carnality. What do I mean? For some, the moment that you heard, let's say you're a Trump supporter, the moment that you heard that Harris was running, all you did was look for dirt on her and mocked and laughed. Ah, she's this, she's that, she's terrible, and all that. Conversely, some of you, all you do day and night as demonize Donald Trump and look for something else bad about him and call him names. And none of that glorifies the Lord, and none of that is Christ-like. These are both fallen human beings with frailties and weaknesses, with strengths and gifts, with good and bad. And obviously, one candidate we feel would do a better job than the other candidate, which is why we vote accordingly. But to say this yet again, there are no demons and there is no one divine. This is not Satan and this is not a savior. So let's just say, I would say the majority of those that listen to this broadcast would vote Republican versus Democrat, even just for the abortion issue. But let's just say the majority would. So I just want to remind you that Donald Trump is not the Messiah, that Kamala Harris is not a monster, that Donald Trump is not divine, and Kamala Harris is not the devil, that Donald Trump is not supernaturally good, and Kamala Harris supernaturally bad. Oh, I militantly reject many of the Democratic policies, just as I militantly reject some of Trump's characteristics and behavior. And I voted for Trump twice, 2016 and 2020, because ultimately of policies. The question was, would his behavior, would his attitude, the way it filters down to America, to the church, would that do more harm than good? Those were the debatable points. I'm not saying there aren't big issues at hand. I'm not saying that there aren't life and death issues at hand. I'm not saying that one party stands, in my view, for many things that are better for America and another for many things that are worse for America. I'm not denying the political differences, nor am I discouraging political involvement. In fact, every one of us should get involved in the political process and understand, again, we're not choosing between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. If you're a GOP voter, the Democrats are not the kingdom of Satan, and for sure, the Republicans are not the kingdom of God. There is a mixture everywhere. The kingdom of God cuts across both parties. The kingdom of Satan cuts across both parties. As much as I have affirmed the platforms in the past of the GOP much more than Democrats, I'm not minimizing the differences, and we should vote, but please, I'm urging you, keep your spiritual perspective. Only Jesus is Lord. Only Jesus is the chosen one. Only Jesus is the Savior and the one who can save America. Do not put your trust in a political party or a political leader. Vote, but understand politics has its limits. Politics is not the gospel. And you do not want to lose your peace and your joy and your intimacy with God, because your emotions are going up and down, up. And what's coming next? Worship God. Step back. Worship God. He alone is worthy. And let peace come to your heart because of the stability that comes from his presence.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I want to take this opportunity to talk to you about the importance of healthy blood flow and how it's enhanced by a miracle molecule known as nitric oxide. You see, blood vessels release nitric oxide, which increases blood flow, known as something called vasodilation. At Trivita, we take blood flow seriously for our members, and we've developed a nitric oxide plus supplement that has been formulated with natural ingredients designed to maximize nitric oxide production in our blood vessels, which increases blood flow. You may be wondering why you don't have as much energy as you used to. One study that I came across revealed that by the age of 40, we only produce about 50% of the nitric oxide production as compared to our 20s, and by the age of 70, the study showed that we're only producing about 15 to 25%. I have good news. As we age, there's another way for our body to increase nitric oxide production, and that's by converting nitrates in vegetables like beetroot into nitric oxide. Bottom line, with more nitric oxide, we stimulate more blood flow to our vital organs and we experience more energy while supporting healthy blood pressure. Trivita's Nitric Oxide Plus has been formulated to increase nitric oxide production and blood flow at every age.
To place your order for products to support your wellness goals, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584. May you live with greater wellness.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Last time I used nitric oxide. All right, we got to get that music. Just kind of ease it in, ease it out. There we go. Last time I used Trivita's nitric oxide, like always, this morning. Yeah, absolutely. That's why we share that with you on the air here. So do take advantage of these great offers and their great generosity to us. If you want to weigh in, you feel you have a comment, an insight, or you have a question for me about what's happening in the presidential elections, call 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. We may get into this Project 2025 controversy today, otherwise probably tomorrow. But I want to step back and reflect on something here. What matters is the end of the story, not the beginning, not the middle, but in terms of the result, the end. So, for example, let's say that your team, so you're a baseball fan, and your team has the best record at the All-Star break, and they are 10 games ahead with 40 games out, and nobody can touch them. And then they have such a bad collapse that they end up not only falling out of first place, but falling out of wild card contention. They don't even make it into the playoffs. One of the greatest collapses in baseball history. That's what you remember. You don't remember how great the season was up to then. You remember what happened at the end. You know, it's the same. You're dominating a game. Let's say it's soccer with the World Cup football. You're dominating the game. You're up 2-0. With 6 minutes to go, and the opposing team has barely had a shot on goal, and then through some fluke thing, they score 3 goals in the last 6 minutes, and that's what's remembered. It's the end of the story. And many times, we look at the end of a chapter and think it's the end of the story, or we look at the end of the book and think it's the end of the series of books, and that's how it is with life. That often what seems like, well, you came out on top today. Well, tomorrow you end up on the bottom. And then out of that, 10 years later, you end up way higher on the top. So each chapter can have its own outcome. And then there's the final story. So again, we don't know what's going to happen yet. We don't know. Let me just throw out a scenario here, a potential scenario. Let's say Trump had won in 2020. Again, just trying to give you some biblical perspectives in terms of some ways to think of this. What I said the first segment was, don't get caught up with political fever. Don't get caught up with political fever. And second thing is, wait for the end of the story. And sometimes the story seems like ending, but it's not. And then another. So 2020... let's just say Trump had won, or if you believe he did win, the thing was rigged. Anyway, he would not have won by a landslide. And for sure, Congress was deeply divided. Those results we do know. And then after January 6th, he gets banned. Jack Dorsey, CEO of Twitter, bans Trump from Twitter. He had a massive account, 80 million followers. That was where he did a lot of his communication. Banned. I mean, how can they ban a sitting president? It was an outrageous act of overreach, even if you felt Trump was somehow responsible for what happened on January 6th. So it looks bleak, right? And that's the end of the story. They're going to run again in 4 years. Well, let's just say, as we fast forward to 4 years later, what if Trump wins decisively? Right now, polls show him a little bit ahead of Kamala Harris. If you factor in RFK running, he's way ahead of Kamala Harris. But again, we shall see. And I'm encouraging you. I'm not saying don't watch polls or don't. I'm just saying don't get caught up with. Up, down. Don't let your emotions get caught up with it. It doesn't do any good, and it takes us away from being effective in the Lord because we're so pulled by this other stuff. But let's just say Trump wins by a landslide, and let's just say that with that landslide, as a result of him almost being assassinated, the incredible momentum behind him, the energy of his followers, the fact they haven't been divided up and down, and it's going to be Biden, it's going to be Harris, what's going to happen? That hasn't happened. And let's just say there were sweeping results that followed in Congress, in the Senate and House. 4 years later, he could end up getting far more accomplished. Again, whether you like him or not, I'm just putting out a scenario. He could end up getting far more accomplished 4 years later than he could have 4 years earlier. And think of this in terms of the twists and the turns, in terms of who saw this coming, that he gets banned from Twitter. Well, then Elon Musk buys it, ultimately changes the name to X, reinstates his status, although Trump is still using his own media company, Truth Social. But he reinstates his status. But not only that, Musk says that he is now going to be donating to a Trump super PAC to the tune of $45 million a month. Yeah, a bit staggering to hear. $45 million a month. So 4 years earlier, 3.5 years earlier, banned from Twitter. 3.5 years later, not just reinstated, but with the new head of Twitter, giving him $45 million a month. We never know how things are going to unfold and what's going to happen. So that's why it's best to stay in peace before the Lord, worshiping him when you get anxious, when you hear the latest news, when you're afraid of which way things are going to go. Step back, worship God, honor him, and say, Lord, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Do what's best for America. Do what's best for the Church of America. It may not be the way we think. We vote according to what we understand is best, but God's ways are not our ways. And he may do things that totally astound us. The other thing I want to urge you to do once again is have your differences politically, have your differences ideologically, have your differences theologically, but don't demonize and dehumanize those you differ with. So on the one hand, we can glorify people, we lionize them, we make them into godlike figures. And then we do the opposite with those we don't like. We make them into inhuman figures. And for the most part, most of the people we're differing with have aspirations, hopes, and dreams like everybody else. They want a better world for their kids or grandkids. They're just trying to live their lives without the government telling them what to do and how to do it. And it could well be that your colleague at work, one of the nicest people you know, hardworking, decent human being, has a very different view than you on same-sex, quote, marriage. Or your neighbor, great. I mean, just a fun person to be around and kind-hearted, they have a very different view than you on abortion. And as one pastor said to me, after watching what was happening with trans activism in Texas. He was working actively in the political realm to do his best to get vote out, to get support, to make it illegal to surgically mutilate or chemically castrate minors who were going through gender identity confusion, and was thrilled when ultimately the bill passed there in Texas. But he said to me that when he went on the web pages or the social media pages of those that were saying we have to give this care to kids, he said, Dr. Brown, they sound just like us. They're also saying this is about the kids, and this is what prevents suicide, and this is the only way to give them hope, and how dare you withhold that from them? So yes, they were misguided, but they were not monsters. They were deeply, terribly misguided, but they genuinely thought this was in the best interest of kids, and that somehow deluded into thinking that this is what science had concluded after decades of study was in the best interest of kids. The point is, they're fellow human beings. I'm not going to back down from my convictions for a split second. Hearts of compassion, backbones of steel, that's what we preach. But do we have to dehumanize and demonize those we differ with? Can't we do better than that? We'll be right back. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name, not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world, God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. Thelineoffire.org, click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount, our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. By the way, I'm not going to comment. Thanks, guys. Good job. I'm not going to comment on the Secret Service hearings other than to say Secret Service can't fail. In other words, we're talking life and death. We blew my bad there. Sorry. This is not an option for Secret Service. Donald Trump almost lost his life. Courageous husband and father did lose his life. That's forever in this world. That man is gone from his wife, from his kids. Two others were seriously wounded. And then the shooter himself killed. He should have been apprehended way earlier. On every level, he should have been apprehended. He'd still be alive on top of it. And we could even know what was going on in his life. So this is not the kind of thing like, yeah, sorry, we just had a couple of glitches. You don't have the luxury of having glitches. especially when on such an extraordinarily mind-boggling level. You've got to be kidding me. You know what it reminds me of? My aunt, Ruth, died of brain cancer decades ago. And I remember talking to my uncle, Ben. We were in the hospital. She just had surgery. And the doctor given her a bleak chance of being like 1 in 10 of surviving. And I remember my uncle saying what really pained him was that she had all these symptoms going on for months and months and saw her doctor and had all these symptoms. And it was only at the end that they realized she had a brain tumor. And by then it was too late to deal with it. If they had recognized early on, they could have treated her successfully. And my uncle was saying he had gone to a foot doctor or just something for something in his own life, but not a brain specialist, not a cancer specialist, just somebody, foot doctor, something like that. I was just a little young boy, but I still remember. And he was telling the foot doctor about some of the symptoms his wife had been having. And the moment he heard it, he goes, oh, brain tumor? The moment he's thinking, my doctors that we went to week in, week out, month in, month out, and told them the symptoms, they didn't get it for months and months, and now she's dying. It was just another bitter pill that made the agony of losing her even more painful. That's the kind of stuff we're looking at. Like, how in the world is it possible that it happened? And in any case, somehow God is working in the midst of all this. And I wrote about it, if you didn't read my article, and interacting with those who said, well, you can't say God saved Trump without it. He didn't save the others. Interact with that gives you some theological perspectives. But something else I want to present here. Again, you're listening to this broadcast as opposed to another one where you're just going to get a political perspective or a conservative perspective or a liberal perspective. Doing my best to give you biblical perspectives on some of the things we're talking about. I find it sad to watch Joe Biden experience cognitive decline. I'm sad to see it. And I'm just surprised it didn't come out much earlier. I thought it would come out in the debates 4 years ago, personally. But what do I know? I'm not there. I'm not working with him side by side. But when it finally happened in the presidential debate a few weeks back, okay, that's what seemed apparent to many for some time. I don't get joy in that. You'll never come to one of our social media pages and see us posting videos of President Biden falling as he's walking up to Air Force One or stammering as he's trying to say something and botches the words terribly. You won't find that. You won't find memes say we're mocking Trump for being fat or for something stupid that he said. And James Jacob, the third chapter, says, with the same mouth, with the same lips, we bless God and we curse people. It's beneath us. It's beneath us. Just read that the president's physician said he's coming out of COVID just almost entirely symptom-free and everything's getting back to normal. Someone like, oh, I want him to die. Where do these feelings come from? I want you to hear something. Because just like President Biden has his enemies, President Trump has his enemies. And if we don't look at people through God's eyes of looking at human beings who are sinners who need salvation, and some of them do a lot of good, some of them do a lot of bad, and then most are somewhere in between. But if we don't look at them the right way, we are no better than the world. We are no better than the world. So I want you to hear a perspective. Those of you who like President Biden, you really like this perspective. Those of you that really opposed his policies will not like this perspective. It's Van Jones on CNN after he hears the announcement that President Biden is resigning. It's 2 minutes long, but I want you to hear this so you can see just the humanity side of things. Because, friends, just like President Trump's granddaughter gets up, his granddaughter Kai, at the RNC, and she talks about 17 years old, what it's like to have him as a grandpa, and this is just to humanize him. It's just the same with Joe Biden. And you may love certain things about the one and really not like things about the other. It's whatever that is. These are fellow human beings families, people who've done good, people who've done bad, people who need Jesus. My greatest prayer is that God would truly, wonderfully, beautifully save Joe Biden, reveal himself to him, show him the depth of his own sin and his need for a Redeemer, and show him the real power of knowing the Lord. That's my prayer. In fact, if you haven't read it, I post it, a prayer that we could just pray, agree, and give some background to it. Just go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Just click on read, and you will see it. But listen to what Van Jones has to say. I'm only playing this for those that are Biden haters and Biden bashers to hear this, because I could do the same for Trump, for those who are Trump haters and Trump bashers. But since it's President Biden that just dropped out of the race, I want you to hear what Van Jones had to say.
The Democratic Party is a family. At the end of the day, this is a family matter. You know, Joe Biden's body may not be as strong as it used to be. His language skills may not be as sharp as they used to be. His heart is as big as ever. His heart is as big and as true and as strong. And this is the difference between a politician and a leader. He made a selfless decision, and people are heartbroken. Even people who are pushing for this to happen, it's kind of like when your grandpa, you got to take the keys, and everybody, you got to take his keys, and he's fighting, and everybody's so frustrated, and then you finally get the keys back, and then you just cry, because this is somebody that you love, this is somebody that you care about, this is somebody who was there for you, this is somebody you wouldn't be here without him, and you have to take something from him. Now, this is not, look, this politics is politics. But this is a human moment for one of the great humans in America. This is a huge moment for him, for his family, for all of us who love him, for all of us who wanted him to get across the finish line. But if you're a young person watching this, this is leadership. This is patriotism. This is what it means to put the country first and put the party first and put the cause first. When your arm gets tired, you let somebody else finish pitching the game. That's what Joe Biden has done, and he's done that for all of us. And so I just want to say, I don't know who's going to be the VP, the non-VP. I don't know anything about politics. I just know that I love this man. I care about this man. It was painful every day to sit up here and talk about him like he's just a, you know, some problem for the party. Wait till we get to the convention. You're going to see people crying, standing, screaming, cheering. He may not get a chance to talk for 10 minutes. We finally get a chance to put our arm around this guy. He did the right thing for this country. He did the right thing for this party. All of us are going to be in this situation someday, and I hope that we take a moment to honor this man and to love this man. I love Joe Biden. I appreciate what he's done, and a lot of people are heartbroken today. Even if it's the right thing, it's still just horrible.
All right, so you don't misunderstand anything and can come bombarding with the comments about me being weak or spineless or having no moral conviction. I absolutely, strongly, without hesitation, voted against Joe Biden for president in 2020. I did vote for Donald Trump, and I absolutely was voting against President Biden and his policies. Absolutely, without hesitation. And I found much of the Democratic platform to be absolutely contrary to my values and what I thought was best for America. So that is not the issue. But for those who are the Biden haters, you need to hear that and remember that for many, he was considered a champion, gave his life for service of the country, and was a husband, father, grandfather, etc. And for those who are Trump haters, you need to hear those things about Trump. You need to hear his family speaking about him and the love and appreciation they have for him and his heart for the country. Just to remember, please, we can have our political differences and our deep political convictions, but there is no excuse for carnality. There is no excuse for a mock. Oh, well, Elijah mocked the prophet. So you're not Elijah and I'm not Elijah. Okay? And we're not dealing with prophets of Baal and people who'd sacrifice babies, I mean, literally on an altar, burn babies to a false god. Yeah, I understand the Democratic Party platform on abortion, and President Biden continued to go further and further into the pro-abortion camp as the years went on. Even he'd initially supported the Hyde Amendment for years, then went against that. And it basically happened just during a primary debate that he had to go further to the left for his part. I get all that. I understand all that. But I want to say it again. We're not dealing with the Christ, and we're not dealing with the Antichrist. And if we could tone down some of our rhetoric, and if we could put our passion into exalting Jesus and making him known and making sure that the world knows who our Savior is more than they know who our political party or political candidate might be, then we could do a much better job of being his witnesses. And for all of those, again, I would assume the great majority of those that are following my ministry and various platforms would be Trump voters or GOP voters because of Christian conservative values, evangelical values, etc. I don't mean it's 100% one way or the other. I'm sure there's certain things that Democrats do that Christians would say we find this better on the ground in certain ways, back and forth. So I understand that. I get that. But we have a chance now, if we're voting, planning to vote for Trump again, we have a chance to get things right. He's made it clear, no matter how much he speaks of himself as the strongest pro-life president we've ever had, he's made it clear his own views are not strong pro-life views. And ultimately, lets the states decide, and that's where things stay. So he would not support a federal amendment on abortion. There's no confusing things. There's no mistaking things. It's a pragmatic choice within politics, but it's not a choice of salvation. It's not a choice of the redemption of the nation or of the hope of the nation. So let's keep things in their proper context. We've got a chance. We've got a replay. We've got a mulligan. We've got a chance to do it again. Let's get it right this time. More to come. Stay right here.
What Trivita customers are saying.
Dr. Garno, I can't wait to tell you that those supplements are absolutely amazing. My strength has gone up at least 15 pounds in everything I do. I mean, I can curl, like I'll usually do curls with arms. You know, I'll do 40 to 45. I was doing 60-pound curls 10 times in each arm. And then yesterday, I did a back workout, and I was doing weight that I haven't done since my 20s. And I usually ride my bike to the gym. It's about a 10, 12-minute bike ride. And then on the way back, after I've done my weight training, you know, I ride back, but I'm huffing and puffing. And I rode my bike there and back, and I had so much energy. I'm telling you, the combination of the nitric oxide with the MyoHealth is just amazing. I can't believe how much strength I have right now. I mean, I'm just really excited about it.
Trivita wants you to experience wellness too. Do something good for your heart and cardiovascular system. Learn how to get 25% off Nitric Oxide Plus. Call 800-811-9628 or go to Trivita.com. Use promo code BROWN25 in the shopping cart to receive 25% off your first order, and Trivita will give a substantial portion of your order to help support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Call 800-811-9628 or go to Trivita.com. Use promo code BROWN25 in the shopping cart. Get 25% off Nitric Oxide Plus. Call 800-811-9628. 800-811-9628.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I have a little surprise coming your way in a moment. I've got a little surprise because I want to do my best as I've been praying, especially a prayer retreat over the weekend, Lord, how can I minister to people? How can I best serve? You've given me this platform. You've given me this audience. What can I do to bring what you've called me to bring to help your people, to help the church get healthy and strong and thriving? Because that's the great goal. That's the great goal. And that ultimately makes me kingdom-oriented more than political party-oriented. So I've got a little surprise for you. We'll share it in a moment. But when I was talking about the pro-life vote, to me, there's still a binary choice in that one party says we want to reinstate Roe v. Wade. We want a federal ban on the pro-life on pro-life activity, basically. Just no, you can't have it. Women can get abortions for any reason, anytime up until 9th month. And that's what we want, basically, nationally. And others are saying, okay, GOP, let the states decide. So it's still, to me, a binary choice. That I can't vote for the party that's saying that they want to reinstate Roe v. Wade. I can't be complicit with that, even if I liked other parts of that part. I can't do it in conscience before God. And on the flip side, I understand, okay, President Trump is not taking the hard pro-life line that he would have earlier, backed off on certain things, probably political pragmatism and just reflecting his own views. But thankfully, Roe v. Wade has been overturned. That's massive. Appreciate President Trump's participation on that in a very serious level. So let's go about what we can, getting down on the state-by-state level. But to me, it's still a binary choice in terms of the abortion issue. But while I'm not looking to the Republican Party to bring the changes about from the top down, it's going to have to be grassroots from the bottom up, changing hearts as well as changing laws. But what I want to come back to is this. If we get in the flesh, we're no better than anyone else. If we get in the flesh, then we put down the distinctives, the gifts that God has given us that the world needs. More than ever, the nation of America needs the church of America to rise up. Oh, the nation may not feel that way. And I don't mean rise up politically. I don't mean some hyper-extreme Christian nationalism that wants to take over and impose Christianity on the nation. I mean for the church to be the church, for us to shine our lights, for us to have the conscience, the prophetic voice of being salt, for us to go about doing good and preaching the gospel and making disciples and setting captives free. The agenda we lay out in my book, Turn the Tide, if you don't have it, I really encourage you to get it. It'll stir you and it'll fill you with practical vision and steps that you can take. But it is time for us to rise up and be who God called us to be. And that means first love, putting first things first, love for Jesus, intimacy with Jesus, walking with him. So last night, praying, worshiping, the end of my prayer retreat, I decided to get a clip from Keith Green and found this clip of him shortly after writing his song, O Lord, You're Beautiful. And I know this is talk radio, but I just wanted to leave you with this. I'll come back. There'll be a little time after. Just to say, let's look to the Lord. Let's get our eyes on him. It's going to get very intense. Everything's going to get very intense. It's been intense. It's going to get more intense and maybe more and more leading up to Election Day in November. So let us keep our perspective and let me do my job of helping us point to him. So this is Keith Green, tragically went to be with the Lord at the age of 28 in a plane crash in 1982, but his message still speaks and his words still minister. Let's listen together.
On Monday night this week, about midnight, I wrote a letter to the Lord. I didn't know where to mail it, so I put it in my Bible. And I asked him, Lord, you got to do something about my heart. You know, a lot of time's gone by since I met you. And it's starting to harden up. You know, it's just kind of natural. I want to have baby skin, Lord. I want to have skin like a baby on my heart. It's starting to get old and wrinkled and calloused. It's not because of anything I'm doing. It's because of a lot of things I'm not doing. stayed up till about 2 a.m. writing this song.
Praise God. What a beautiful song. In fact, when it was finally released in album form, words changed a little. It's helped me to never seek a crown. You may have heard it slightly differently, but that was the original version shortly after it had been written and then sung publicly, I guess, for the first time. And I played it just to help us remember what matters most, to help us in the midst of what's going to be a very intense season of upheaval and dueling headlines and dueling news broadcasts and up and down polls and who knows what developments still lie ahead, and the drama of the Democratic Convention and then debates and everything else. Emotions will be running high. Let us learn from the mistakes of past elections in terms of how we got caught up. Let us learn from the frenzy of false prophecies and people prophesying out of their own heart or out of delusion. Let us learn from the nastiness that is spread and the division that is spread. And let us determine our first focus is going to be the Lord. Our first focus is going to be intimacy with God. Our first focus is going to be exalting Jesus. And as we do that, and as we make him known to friend, to neighbor, we'll be doing the best good that we can. So by all means, be involved in the political process. By all means, have clear convictions on moral and cultural issues. By all means, cast a vote because your vote is meaningful. But let us put first things first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added. I believe you're going to be edified, strengthened by every broadcast this week. Don't miss a one.